Good evening.
Hello. This is the after the long lost. What the hell? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
What just happened?
Wow, I have so many things that I could say to that, and I'm sure a very low percentage of those things would actually apply to what's going on right now. What did just happen?
Did you not hear a huge tsunami wave noise?
No. No.
What
Right there, I heard myself and
Like you said
you.
hello, and then there was this noise as though you were carried away by the ocean.
I was not carried away by the ocean. I'm actually still just lying here in my dark living room.
No, there's a not at all creepy visual for our blogging, for our vlog podcasting. I was like, what the fuck is this for a
Well,
podcast?
no, but
I'm
okay, but
sitting
hang
here like in front of my computer, engaged, and you are lying in a dark room.
on. Okay, it's number one, it's my living room. I'm looking outside to a, quite beautiful snow-covered backyard. I have a couple of candles burning. I have a picture fucking mosaic thinger happening on my TV right now.
All right.
So
That's less creepy.
it's significantly less creepy than what I'm sure everybody's thinking it is.
Well, you said you're laying here in the dark. I'm that is an embroidered sounds just fucking creepy.
I'm not on some like concrete fucking floor with my hands crossed on my chest like a corpse.
That's where I went. I just pictured
All
you
right.
like in a dark room, like laying on a cot.
Fair enough. I burned, I kind of burned. I didn't burn my hand, but I burned like the hair off my hand earlier tonight because I was filling up a Zippo lighter and got some lighter fluid all over my hand and didn't realize it. So when I went to actually light the lighter for the first time just to see, like, hey, I wonder if the filling this thing up actually worked. Lit the lighter and there was a bit of a fwomp, that really loud fwomp
I'm kind
sound.
of sad you didn't burn off half your mustache.
Yeah, here's the thing. If I was to burn off half my mustache, then I'd have to shave the rest of it, right? To have some balance. And the biggest
A
problem with.
second, you're a rigger. Surely you enjoy asymmetry.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Should I enjoy asymmetry?
Yeah.
Sure, I like asymmetry, but not when it comes to my face. I prefer a little bit of balance with the entire sort of cranial facial region. I think symmetry is actually kind of the bomb. Personally, I think symmetry is really great. The other thing is that when I shave off my beard, I look about 12.
Which I think is
So,
hilarious.
which is pretty hilarious, although if it also burned off some of my head hair and I had to shave my head down to skin, then I look like some kind of encephalitic man child because my head is actually
I
really
need you to do
big.
one of two things. I need you to either do it so I can see this and have this as my screensaver, or I need you to Photoshop it so I can see what it looks like and have it as my screensaver. That is
Well,
my
I might be able to do one better than that, in that I think somewhere in this apartment, although I'm not sure. I think somewhere there might be a photograph of a time when I actually did that. And if I can find that photograph, I will
Awesome.
send you the part of it that is the giant pasty pale skull of me looking
Then I will
12.
tint it red and put it on the
Yeah. Because that's what the internet needs to see.
hello, boys and girls and children of all ages.
And Canadians.
And Canadians and the few Swedish people who listen to the show. Speaking of Sweden,
Oh,
people,
hello,
did you know
Swedes.
I was on Swedish TV last week?
I did not know you were on Swedish
Yes,
TV
and
last
if you
week.
go to my blog, melina.com or the pervertednegress.com, whichever you like, I posted a blog post with a link I think I embedded the show, and hopefully it should still be there. I don't know how their embedding works. I don't know if you lose links when a new show comes on. But anyway, yeah, when I was in Sweden over the summer on my trip of death, I was filmed for this Swedish TV show. I think it's called 69 Things You Always Wanted to Know About Sex.
Mm-hmm.
Because the 69 thing is still very sexy, even in Europe. And I haven't watched the interview because I just saw a little bit in the Rush trailer with a picture of me, and I was like, oh my god, I look terrible, and oh my god, I was in so much pain that day, and so I was like, I can't watch it, because that was the second day I was there, and that was the day that the ear infection kicked in. Anyone watching it would know that I was about to die, but my body memory of it is still very strong.
Right. So when you see yourself, like when you see yourself on screen, of course, the main thing that you think about is, I was going to die right there.
Yes, like I was like, this was one of those, this was the, I thought this was bad. And then it just got worse from that day. Okay. Now say something clever, because I have to go check on these brownies.
Right. So one of the really annoying things that's happening right now is that Melina is in New York. And I am in Toronto, and Melina is baking brownies, and I am not. So what's probably going to happen as part of the podcast is she's going to check on the brownies. At some point, she's probably going to bring the brownies back to in front of her computer where she is recording this. And there's a fairly high probability that she will eat a brownie while podcasting, which, considering that I don't...
They're not done!
Oh, I'm now hearing in the background, as I'm sure you are as well, that the brownies are not done.
Fucking God.
Not done.
Damn it. And the thing is, you would think, okay, why did bitch just not buy ready-made brownies? I can't eat brat. There's no brownie that is acceptable except a brownie out of the oven, A, or B, a prescription brownie. I can't eat over-the-counter brownies.
Seriously?
No. Okay, sorry. I don't mean prescription as in, like, pot brownie. I mean prescription as in made by a two-purpose baker who bakes brownies professionally.
Oh, okay.
Like a brownie in a store, like, hey, have this brownie in a packet. No. Fail.
Right.
I can't. All right, we should talk about something that has to do with BDSM, because that's sort of like what the podcast. We're going to do that thing. It's going to be like 20 minutes in, and then we'll be like, oh my god, incredible topic, and then we have to stop. And
right. And so far... I think we can, well, now that we've exhausted brownies, obviously.
I have not been exhausted yet.
Okay. We've exhausted the topic of brownies, and I was on this whole thing while you were going to acquire the brownies. And what I was leading up to was the idea that I'm in Toronto without brownies. You're in New York and you were about to probably have some brownies, and you were probably going to eat the brownie while we were recording this podcast.
Well, they better be done by the time this podcast is done, is all.
What I was going to say is that would be a really kind of like, you know, food-based form of sadism.
Fuck your brownies!
Like a gustatory sadism or something.
Yeah, I have so many avenues where that could be exploited. I had a partner back in the day who constantly threatened that he was going to feed me heavy cream without allowing me to take any pills. And I said, okay, but you have to deal with me.
Right.
I was like, the exchange for that is you get to deal with me vomiting and shitting my brains out. And then you have to make sure that I am healthy and rehydrated in the 24 hours it will take for me to recover from that type of, from that level of illness.
Wow.
And he was like, I said, see, that's why you guys all suck, because you're fucking lazy.
Wait, like, wait, what?
that was my revenge. I was like, you could have the ultimate scene where, like, literally the whole scene, all you have to do is give me like a quarter cup of heavy cream and then watch me writhe in pain for the next 8 hours and then spend the next like half a day recovering. And you don't want to do it because you're lazy.
No, I don't want to do that because that's boring.
Not you. I'm saying okay. You, the you in this particular
situation. Oh, the you. Okay, so The thing with
Obviously,
that
that
is.
doesn't, if it doesn't turn you on, there's no reason you would do it. If it, you know, this particular individual was turned on by the idea of having someone in pain that could not be stopped. Right? The thing is, if you're hitting someone or electrifying someone or whatever, that can be stopped. But
yeah.
Once you have caused a food reaction, there's nothing that can stop it.
I guess that's true.
And so that was his thing, is the idea of a scene that like will take that long and there's no way out of it. There's no, you can't safe word. There's no safe word on that scene.
It's true. I guess you can't really safe word your digestive system.
And the thing is that those pills are irrelevant after after the food is past my stomach.
Wow.
So if I were to drink a cup of heavy cream, for example, and then take a pill, I would be a little sick. If I would cream and take no pills, I would be violently ill for a good 6 or 8 hours. And then I would be really fucked up for another half of a day. And dehydrated and all those awful things. And so that's the thing, is that like he was fascinated by the idea of a scene that can't be safe worded. And I said, all right, the price you pay for that is, like I said, coping. And
right.
You think it's hot, but I promise you, by 4 a.m., be really tired of holding my hair as I puke and the stink of shit because I have been crapping my brains out for the past 3 or 4 hours. So, really? Is it worth that? And I was like, I didn't think so.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty, that's a pretty obvious equation for me personally. Who knows? Maybe there's a person out there who is just the biggest, like, you know, body venting fetishist and is like, whatever I can do to make stuff come out of your parts, drink this cream. Like,
the brownies had to come out of the oven. It looks like they seem to cool down a little bit, then I can put them in my face. Yay! The thing is that if, for example, you are a scat player, like, you would be think this was the best fucking scene ever, because it's like, it's not even about trying to control it. There will be poop, as I believe the title of the movie it goes.
okay, so yes. but here's the thing about that, though. It's like, how exciting is that as a tool of control when it's kind of I guess what that means is that you're more interested in the person would be more interested in playing a part in causing the sensations.
Correct.
As opposed to
playing a part in causing the sensations and being so in control of someone that you know that they would voluntarily submit to an unbelievable amount of pain and discomfort for a while because you said so. Knowing it's not erotic for them. That doesn't turn me on.
Yeah. So, I still feel like the disconnect. So, okay. So I can almost get there, but not particularly with the heavy cream business. But the idea of somebody doing something for me, well, hang on. No. I thought I could get there, and actually I can't, because then it seems to me that there's a couple things there that would be missing for the way that I would choose to function, which is that I'm not interested in being, there's a difference for me between controlling somebody's, between playing a part in causing someone's discomfort and playing a constantly engaged part in someone's discomfort.
Right.
So the first one is kind of like a sort of like a fire and forget scenario where
you
kind of point something and you push a button and then it goes, and for all the while that it's going, all that you sort of have to do is just sit there and watch it. And that's a little dull.
Well, but there are some people who would like that, like, right? For example, people who enjoy putting people in sensory deprivation bondage. They don't have to do anything once a person is in that sleep sack and then tied up, right? They have to make sure they're okay, monitor their airway and their breathing and yada, yada, yada.
Well, then they are, but then they are doing something.
Right. Well, they are. And the thing is that the person who is watching you suffer is doing something as well. They're absorbing your suffering.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are doing that. That I can get with. I think it's harder for me than if the pleasure that somebody gets out of agreeing to do this thing that is causing them discomfort is if that overrides the discomfort that they will feel while doing it, then that's cool.
Okay. I can't think of much that would override that. The thing is that it would seem to me that you would have to deeply fetishize obedience and be intrinsically clinically sadistic.
Yes, agreed. However, if you fetishize obedience, does it not make more sense to want to engage in things that in effect give you constant obedience as opposed to obedience 8 hours ago and now it doesn't matter if I did tell you to do something, you couldn't do it because you're shitting yourself?
Well, I'm assuming that you would not schedule the heavy cream scene before tea on Sunday afternoon, right?
Well no, but then at this but what in effect you're doing, if you're doing something that renders that if you're engaging with your subject in a way that renders your subject like unaccessible for whatever reason, the choice then for you in terms of receiving that obedience is the hit of receiving one big problematic action of obedience essentially once,
right,
more of a hit than setting something up where you are constantly receiving bits of obedience?
Well, I don't know that that's I think that's kind of a moot point, because you're not saying that this is the only way that you do your kink. You're saying this is a scene that you do. If it were that every time I see you, you make me drink the milk and I shit and vomit and I writhe around in pain for hours, I would say, well, that's doesn't seem very, very, very interesting to me at all. But if you were to say, this is the thing I want to do because I want to experience what that's like, for better or for worse, I don't know which would be better. They're very different. I don't think that it's a better or worse scenario. The parallel the example that you just drew parallels to me the difference between ownership and submission. Submission being a thing that you do moment to moment. You submit to the act, the power, the dynamic, whatever, which is a state, I personally feel. I own you, great. We're done with that part of it. And so now we have the rest of our dynamic going on and live our lives with this owner-property relationship. Does that mean that being owned makes me feel like I am less connected with my submissive state? Probably not. It's a constant thing versus the act of submission, which to me is that aggregate of moment-to-moment-to-moment acquiescence to that other person's will, which can be rescinded at any moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hence the difference between a standard scene with the hitting and the sticks and the heavy cream scene, which is, as you say, set it and forget it.
Yeah. It's kind of like one big, white, creamy stick.
Jesus Christ, is that really necessary?
Sort of. Maybe. That in a way, and this is sort of the interesting part for me, is that in a way it eliminates... It's like a choice on both people's parts to say for this duration, this is the only way that this dynamic probably, not absolutely, but probably will be expressed, because the form of the expression prevents almost any other form of expression.
Right. As would be a privation bondage scene, for example, as would be the state of ownership, right? If you own somebody, there is no longer the question of negotiating moment to moment that obedience. You've agreed that that obedience is to continue until the relationship is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus in a scene where I can decide at any point, I'm done. We're finished.
Right.
And that's actually not only reasonable, but expected, right? That's the good stuff. Boundaries and beginning, middle, and end. That's exactly appropriate for that type of scene.
Totally. Or also that type of relationship.
Right. But that's not any less satisfying. You know, a really great connected hot scene is not less satisfying than a really great connected hot relationship chunk where you've pulled out this slice of what? Why are you mocking?
I was laughing because I was going to finish that sentence then. You know, it's not any less rewarding than a good good hot, and I was going to say cup of cream.
I don't know how much longer I can talk about this. My stomach is starting to feel very sad.
Well, how much more time do we have in this particular recording?
Oh yeah, question. We have exactly eight minutes.
Oh okay. That's fine. I don't feel a need to talk about heavy cream play for the next 8 minutes, seven and a bit minutes.
But I kind of do want to wrap it up because I think hilariously and kind of in a kind of fascinating way, it really does. In microcosm, sort of underscore the differences I see between ownership and mastery and slavery and submission. You know, I was recently having a preliminary negotiation with someone that I met online, and you know, of course, it didn't come to fruition because that's my fucking luck. But one of the things he did note was that on my profile that I did not state that I identified as submissive, that I specifically listed myself as identifying as a slave. And he's like, well, do you not submit? And I said, it's not that I don't submit, it's that that's not what the core of my relationship motivation is, you know, and having that be the thing, because I actually prefer not to have to constantly police barriers and constantly ride the fence. Where I find my best connection is when I can say, how are you? How am I? How is this? How are we feeling? Okay, good. Click. We now have this dynamic in place. Here's how it's going to work. Here's how we're going to check it. Here's how we're going to take its temperature. Here's the safety valves in place. And let's just go and do this. Versus having to do that moment to moment to moment to moment. I just, you know, I can do that. That's fine. But that's not what motivates me to seek out these relationships. While the idea of doing the heavy cream style of SM might be very dramatic and challenging, it's not at the core for me in particular, because as you say, it's gone and it's happened and then you're done, you know, and it does take all of your bandwidth. It's like there isn't anything else happening.
Yes, and it's there's also the thing too of if the setup is such that you're constantly achieving or constantly accepting acts of obedience, for me, one of the positive paybacks of that is the recognition that each of those acts is the result of a conscious choice in that moment to engage in that obedience in that moment. So it's like there's a constant conscious reaffirmation, and so therefore like a refeeding or a nourishment of that particular dynamic.
Yeah, I think that and that's a kind of mindfulness, right? You can have that mindfulness in a relationship with a fixed dynamic versus a relationship where the dynamic is, as you say, refreshed.
It's like powered up, or I'm sure there is some kind of video game terminology that I could use. But not being a video gamer, my knowledge falls unfortunately short. How much time do you have?
4 minutes.
All right. I'm just gonna bring this up right now. Right before we started recording this little chunk of excellence that you're listening to right now, I put out a tweet saying that you and I were about to record some stuff.
Just in case you didn't believe it was Canadian, note the pronunciation. Go on.
I'm sorry, you sort of cut out there. So the pronunciation of what?
I said, just in case our audience didn't believe you were actually Canadian, that they should note your pronunciation of the word about.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. You keep talking, because that little bell means that the dog I'm dog sitting for believes that he has to use the restroom.
All right. Well, so that means that you're not going to be listening to me?
I'm listening to you. I'm just not going to respond.
All right. Fair enough. So while Mo deals with some canine feces business, I had... Yeah, with laughter in the background. I had just posted a tweet saying that Mo and I were going to be doing some podcast recording, and if anybody had any questions or topics that they wanted to throw at us, they should do so. And I received a couple of good ones.
Okay, wait, hold on. I have to go outside.
Okay, so Mo's going to go outside. What I'm going to say is, I think what's going to happen now, because we're probably so close to the end of this recording chunk, because... we're still recording this in half-hour blocks. We are going to talk about some of the responses. And thank you for those who responded to my tweet.
Oh, awesome. We have questions. That's fantastic.
Oh, you're back. Okay. I am back.
I heard you say that you had sent out a tweet and that people had responded.
Yep. And I have 1, 2, 3 different things that we could talk about.
That's magnificent. Well, let's do this. Let us pop this out, because we're looking at about 28 minutes, so that's perfect.
Yep, that's great.
And we will wrap this up, and we will do our next part with our next question Q&A. So those of you who tweeted to us this early Wednesday, it's Wednesday morning, right? It's Wednesday? The 18th? Sure.
Yes.
We'll have your questions answered. I probably won't put this up till like Friday, because I usually try to space this out. But what that means is that you should certainly come back tomorrow.
Well, everybody should certainly come back.
My God, don't be crazy. All right, so can you wrap up with our now legendary and famous sad trombone?
Wait a minute. In the past, my understanding is that it was sad trombone, not bad trombone.
Well, I said sad. It sounded like bad. Sad trombone.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that my trombone was getting the appreciation that it's
bust
due.
Bust out the shite trombone, please.
Okay. You know what? This time I'll do sad trombone.
Okay.
And maybe next time I'll do shite trombone. For now.
Just as long as we don't do rusty trombone, although that would be appropriate.
Nice.
That was sad. All right, tune back in. Goodbye. Say good night, Gracie.
Meow.
And here we go. All right, is that again a vanity? Did I stop this? Did I stop it?
I hope so. Otherwise, that last little bit of recording is going to be boring.
No, people love behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, they love that shit.
They love hearing somebody saying, did I stop it?
Yes.